Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Are making their final pitches to the American people. We're waiting for Vice President Harris to begin her speech in Philadelphia, where she is likely backstage preparing her closing remarks. Meanwhile, Trump is in Reading, Pennsylvania, where he has been already talking for 4.5 hours.
The SNL, the Open. You know, the general problem with the SNL Open, well, we'll get to the FCC stuff, but the general problem with the SNL Open is the continuous problem that SNL has, which is, they know how to make fun of Trump, and they don't know how to make fun of Kamala Harris. They came close. You know, they could have said something like Kamala Harris is backstage eagerly practicing her impromptu lines. You know, they could have said something like that. But, you know, Trump has been speaking for 4 hours. That's pretty good.
Well, we're almost at election day. The fraud has already begun. They've only caught it for people on my side so far, but that's okay, because they got the big vest on, right? Look good. You like it? You might have seen me wearing it in garbage truck. And I look like one of those airport guys that's doing the lightsabers. What's that guy doing? United this way. We'll be looking into that very strongly. We're going to find out what those are called. We'll look at that.
You might have liked me in garbage truck.
And they say I hate women, but I love women. I love women so much. And I want to protect women, okay, whether they like it or not. That's right. When you're famous, they let you protect them. Grab them right by the protection. Remember that? Maybe not.
See, that was pretty funny. That was actually pretty fun. I mean, that's pretty on track, you know, for old comments that he's made and grab him right by the protection. I mean, that's funny, okay? But then when it comes to Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, they, like, don't have that same sense of humor. They don't have the ability to make fun of their own. So when they're talking, you know, they're watching him talk, or they're just in the back room, and, you know, Kamala Harris and her husband and Tim Walz are there, they forget how to be funny.
All right, I got to get out of here. AOC and I are going to play Fortnite on Twitch.
See, the joke there is to have him say the line about we're going to call a pick six, or some other, you know, even more silly line, like, we're going to run a pick six in the fifth quarter and we're going to ace them. You know, like, just use completely inappropriate metaphors for a football, which, by the way, he said that. He said in the last quarter, which, you know, getting called out by, you know, famous football coaches for, you know, coach, we usually say fourth quarter. It's weird the way he can't speak the lingo of football, having supposedly been, and I got to say it now, you know, some big athletic coach for all these years, because who knows what he lies about. I just, you know, a lot of things. But they don't make that joke. They just kind of throw it in as an aside, playing Fortnite with, I mean, just, what does that have to do with anything? So, of course, Joe Biden, Dana Carvey's funny.
Hey, it's me. No joke.
Joe Biden. Thank you for coming here to support me.
Of course. My train was stopping here, so I'm being serious right now. And by the way, it's good to be back on my home turf. Guess what? As you know, I'm from the part of Pennsylvania that is a part of the state of Delaware.
Well, so the reason, of course, obviously, that they know how to make fun of Joe Biden is because they now feel free to do so. There's no cost to that. He's not the candidate anymore. Right? And he's the lame duck president. He's going to be gone one way or the other in January. Maybe before if Kamala wins. You never know. I mean, seriously. So they know how to make fun of him, and Dana Carvey is free to make fun of him because it doesn't cost anything. But good comedy tells the truth, and it makes fun of people even when it costs you sort of your side looking bad. Well, that's the point of satire. That's the point of comedy.
Joe, thank you so much for all you've done for my campaign.
I can still do more and get out there and I can say more things.
Thank you so much for all you've done for my campaign.
All right, I get it. Come on, let's get real. I'm proud of you. You got nothing to worry about. Come on.
Thanks, Joe.
All right. You know what? I saw a bunch of reporters and cameras out there. I'm going to go ref.
they could have done more with that. You know, they could have mentioned garbage. I'm going to go call him garbage. They could have done something to, you know, the real threat that he is on the campaign trail because he goes off script and says really obnoxious things. Things that are far more obnoxious than, you know, some 15th rate comedian way down the list 2 hours before Trump speaks at Madison Square Garden making some off-color jokes, including one about Puerto Rico. Like, the president of the United States calling the supporters of his opponent garbage is way worse than some, again, you know, knockoff comedian way down the list making a joke about Puerto Rico being an island of garbage. Didn't even call the people. Right? Anyway, so just to put in context, back to Saturday Night Live, though, because the note that got all the attention, and rightly so, was at the end of the open. Maya Rudolph playing Kamala Harris.
This is it. The last campaign stop in Pennsylvania. Gosh, I wish I could talk to someone who's been in my shoes, you know? A black South Asian woman running for president, preferably from the Bay Area.
And she's sitting down at a vanity, and instead of a mirror on the other side of the vanity is Vice President Harris, which got, I don't know, eight and a half minutes worth of direct applause. It was long. It was really, really long.
You and me both, sister.
It is nice to see you, Kamala.
It is nice to see you, Kamala. And I'm just here to remind you, you got this. Because you can do something your opponent cannot do. You can open doors.
See, that's a good joke. That's a good joke because Trump struggled with the dump truck. Right? Remember when he was trying to open the trash truck on, oh God, what was that, Wednesday or Thursday? And he kind of failed twice and fell back just a little bit. No, he didn't fall. I mean, it looked awkward. I mean, for comparison, I think Biden would have been on his, you know, laying down on the ground after that. So he recovered, but then he had a little trouble getting up in the truck. But that's a good joke. The problem is, when you make a good joke, what are you tempted to do? You're tempted to explain the joke. You never explain the joke. Because it means you don't really trust your audience, and it means you didn't tell the joke right, but they did.
I see what you did there, like to a garbage truck, right?
In case you're too dumb to know the context, which is everything SNL takes for granted is that you know the context, right?
I don't really laugh like that, do I?
A little bit.
Yeah, I mean, she does have a cackle. Which I never care about. I think that's the silliest thing ever. That has nothing to do with anything. So they go on and on and on and on.
Now, Kamala, take my Pamela. The American people want to stop the chaos.
And end the dramala.
With a cool new stepmamala. Kick back in our pajamalas and watch a rom Kamala.
Like Legally Blondela.
And start decorating for Christmas. Fa la 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 la. Because what do we always say? Keep Kamala and carry on a la.
It's funny. It's funny. It's not the best joke ever, but it's pretty funny, right? And then they talk about finishing each other's sentences, and they finally get to the end. And...
I'm gonna tell you something. I'm gonna vote for us.
Great. Any chance you are registered in Pennsylvania?
Nope, I am not.
Well, it was worth a shot.
And live from New York,
election interference! Oh, did I say the wrong thing? Oh, Saturday Night Live, sorry. I was thinking ahead about how it's an FCC violation. That's what I was thinking about. You say, what? Yeah, so, interestingly, what a lot of people noticed is that, doesn't the FCC have a rule about equal time for political opponents? And the answer is, yeah, they really do. And the rule is, it's actually a very simple, most people misunderstand this rule. It's kind of funny. But the rule is that if you have a political candidate on, an eligible, qualified political candidate on your public broadcasting airwaves, right, TV or radio, ahead of an election, then you are obligated to allow that person's opponents comparable time, comparable programming. Now, you don't necessarily have to put them in SNL, but Kamala Harris was on the show. I had her for about 3 minutes. The NBC has now said it was about a minute and a half. But if Donald Trump wants to be on NBC for a minute and a half, they have to let him be before the election. Now, the rule goes that if you you have about a week to file your complaint, basically, to ask for, you know, the equal time consideration. But, of course, they don't have to wait a week. And the real key is before the election, right? That's the real take. That's why, for example, okay, three raps ago, I had Josh Robertson on the rap. And then the week after that, what? I had Stephen Barry on the rap. Why? That's equal time. Now, you're not obligated to reach out and offer. But what did I tell you at the time? I did, because I think that's honoring the spirit of the rule, even if it's going beyond what the requirement of the rule necessitates. And that's true. You don't have to reach out and offer. It's if they make a demand of you, if they make a request of you, then you have to provide it. But I figure the spirit of the rule is give people equal time, so give people equal time. The problem is that in this case, for example, if you've got not only Trump, but you've got Jill Stein, you've got all kinds of eligible candidates, people who are eligible for equal time consideration, that there's been no effort to offer them. There had been, as of Sunday, you know, no yes saying by NBC, and precisely because this came so late to the election that they can't even offer them SNL in the future, because the next SNL is going to be after the election. Brendan Carr, who is on the FCC, told Fox yesterday.
Yeah, this appears to be a very clear and blatant effort by NBC to evade the FCC's equal time rule. The FCC's equal time rule has been on the books for dozens and dozens of years. NBC knows this because this exact issue has come up time and time again with respect to this exact program, SNL. So, for instance, when then-candidate Trump in the 2016 election cycle went on SNL, President Obama's Democrat, FCC chairman spoke up and said that the FCC would apply the rules and everybody should know that. And therefore, SNL was able to take remedial action. And my understanding was ensure that the Clinton campaign had equal access.
Yeah, I think he hosted, if I remember correctly. Trump hosted. And that was like a year before the election. And SNL offered equal time to the Clinton campaign and, all good. I mean, not a problem. It's not that you can't have candidates on. It's that you can only have them on if you're going to be offering equal time. Well, again, Brendan Carr, one of the five members of the FCC, one of the members of the FCC, okay? There's always, in case you're wondering about composition, it's always five. It's five picked by the president, but then three only at most can be from the president's party and then two from the Republicans. So it's always three and two. When it was Trump, it was three Republicans and two Democrats. It's now three Democrats and two Republicans.
The issue here is this. NBC has structured this in a way that's plainly designed to evade the FCC's rules. We're talking 50 hours before Election Day starts without any notice to other candidates, as far as I can tell.
By the way, that's not required. That's not required. He may be the commissioner. He may be one of the FCC board members, but that is not required to notify them.
After
it's a nice thing. It's a good thing. It's an even better than thing. But it is not an obligatory thing.
And after previously coming out and saying they weren't going to do this precisely because they did not believe that they could do this consistent with election laws and the FCC's equal time rule. So the FCC's own credibility and integrity is on the line here. I think every member of the FCC needs to speak up immediately, given how close we are to an election, and make clear that we will follow through and enforce our laws. And I think every single remedy needs to be on the table in these circumstances.
Yeah, so let's say, and by the way, NBC has now responded to this by filing an announcement with the FCC that they gave uncompensated time to Kamala Harris, okay, which is an appropriate thing to file. That's not the same as notifying the other candidates. That's just an appropriate thing to file, like an ad buy, basically. But it wasn't an ad buy. It was a freebie. It was a giveaway. And they, you know, made it possible that other candidates might now ask for the time. And I think you could remedy it. Maybe you could give Trump, you know, let's say they've said it was a minute and a half. I think it was longer. They have to go back and measure how long she was on screen. But let's say it was 2 minutes, just for easy sake. You'd have to give Trump 2 minutes at 11:30 Eastern time ish. On NBC's national network. If they even have anything national at that time, I guess that'd be Fallon. Or not, yeah, I guess it'd be Jimmy Fallon. Anyway, they could do that tonight. Obviously, it'd be the last chance they could really do it. They can't do it tomorrow. Like, polls are closed. But they'd also have to do it for, like, Randall Terry and Jill Stein and all the other people who, and, you know, Cornel West. And there are some people who are only eligible in a couple of states, but they have to make it up to them, too. And then later on, by the way, in SNL, there was another candidate. I think it was a U.S. Senate candidate who appeared. I didn't watch, so I just kind of going by what Brendan Carr said. So they're talking about, like, fines, license revocation. Because SNL's done this before. They should know better. And by the way, this is the killer. This is the most amazing part of this story. A month ago, Lorne Michaels, you know, the main person in charge of Saturday Night Live, actually announced publicly that they were not going to have candidates on for the rest of SNL before the election because of the challenges of satisfying the equal time rule. And then somehow they just decided at the last minute, I guess, that, well, Kamala's not winning by enough. We better take, you know, it's worth the chance that we're going to get in trouble over this. Let's go ahead and put her on. So, amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. It's 525 here on News Radio 92.3. John's back. Are you 100%, John?
98%.
Don't cough on me.
I'm trying not to.
All right. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Andrew McKay.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down, get it going slower.
Izervay is proven to slow GA progression.
Izervay.
Izervay or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com.
New South Window lives southern weather, and our products are designed to keep the intense heat out and the cool air in. We prioritize keeping your family and your home comfortable all year round. That's why our energy-efficient windows and doors are made, installed, and guaranteed for life.
For a limited time only, save 35% off on New South Windows and Doors. Visit newsouthwindow.com/radio to learn more.
Boat lovers, mark your calendars for the Marine Max Pensacola Boat and Yacht Show, setting sail Saturday, November 9th from 10 till 4. Marine Max will be showcasing the best brands in boating with exclusive boat show pricing and special incentives only at this event. Fuel your day with delicious chef-curated eats, complimentary beverages, local vendors, and live raffles at noon and 1. Don't miss the Marine Max Pensacola Boat and Yacht Show, Saturday, November 9th, 1901 Cypress Street, Pensacola.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
You depend on your vehicle.
Come on, start already.
And you need a good auto shop to depend on as well. That shop is A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, now open on North W Street. They guarantee the lowest rates in Pensacola, and they offer a 2-year national warranty on all of their work. Their certified mechanics have got you covered. No matter the problem, one call does it all. 850-285-0958. A1 Auto and Diesel Repair, 4414 North W Street, Pensacola.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Isn't there a children's book about an elephant named Babar?
I don't know. I don't have any.
No children?
No elephant books.
Blue Jean, I just
good morning, 528 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. No, elephant books. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David? Or not. No big deal. The air show was amazing on Friday and Saturday. I actually saw both. Watched the Friday air show from the paddleboard, watched the Saturday air show from the media viewing deck, and can I just tell you a small thing? On Friday, in the water, watching from the paddleboard with all the boats and Bayou Grande, I wasn't all that impressed with the Blue Thunderbirds. I thought the Blue Angels were so much better. Turns out it was because of where I was seated that I really just couldn't see it very well or see the performance, but when I was standing on the media stand, oh, both were fantastic. I mean, they really, really were. And I've seen the Thunderbirds before. I mean, it's been, God, 15 or 20 years. But I have seen them before. Actual show, not just, you know, warm-ups. Last show of the year for both of them, by the way. So the Blue Angels have changed over about a third to a half, depending on what portion of the team. And the Thunderbirds also. And they don't have a home base show. I was surprised by this. They're based out of Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas. And I was looking. They did the Super Bowl flyover in Las Vegas this year. And they don't have a home show in Las Vegas. Isn't that weird? I mean, they always do like Luke Days, which is just down the road, but which is only every other year. At least it was when I lived there. So I don't know. I just felt sad that, you know, everybody ought to have a home show. You know, we have two. They don't even get one, I guess. It was kind of, it just made me feel sad for them a little bit. So, but the show was great. And yes, I know. Traffic was, well, really, really poorly planned. But I don't know that you blame the base exactly. It just seems like it was everybody who could have done better, and the better didn't happen. But massive volume for the two-team show.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The eve of Election Day, Vice President Harris focused on Pennsylvania with stops in Allentown, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia, while her opponent,
former President Donald Trump, will make his closing pitch to Americans today. He is holding rallies in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and finishing his day in Grand Rapids, Michigan, where he will deliver a message on the economy and make his final appeal to the auto industry about repealing electric vehicle mandates, which remains a top issue in that state.
Fox's Brooke Singman, how many people have voted early?
More than 77 million people have already cast their ballots. That is about 49% of the total number of people who voted in 2020. Right now, Republicans are outpacing Democrats in Arizona, where so far more than 2 million people have already voted.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera in Washington. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got cloudy skies, 75 degrees in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne. Well, that area in the Caribbean that forecasters have been watching for a while now is now expected to develop into a tropical storm. The National Hurricane Center has released a storm track, which will take that near Jamaica tonight and tomorrow. The system then will likely develop into a hurricane and impact the Cayman Islands and western Cuba. That system then would enter the Gulf of Mexico later this week. Now, forecasters do say it's too soon yet to know what impacts it could have at that point. An initial storm track shows it could impact anywhere, although forecasters do believe that the storm will significantly weaken before it makes any type of landfall. Channel 3 forecasting just rain chances and rough surf by the time the storm could potentially be in our area. More than half of eligible voters have already cast their ballots in Northwest Florida. More than 278,000 people have voted across Escambia, Santa Rosa, and Okaloosa counties. More than 112,000 people have voted in Escambia County and 82,000 in Santa Rosa. Early voting ended on Saturday. If you haven't voted yet, you'll have to go to the polling location for your district. You can find your polling location online, escambiavotes.gov for Escambia County and votesantarosa.gov for Santa Rosa County. Senator Marco Rubio defending former President Trump amid controversy over comments made by a speaker at one of his rallies.
In an interview on CBS Face the Nation, the Miami Republican downplayed the joke told by comedian Tony Hinchcliffe that Puerto Rico was garbage.
And a comedian made a joke and it was tasteless, but it wasn't Trump that said it. It wasn't, this guy's not going to be in his cabinet. I mean, this comedian's not going to be a member of his government. He's certainly not running for anything.
Rubio went on to defend Trump's comments about former U.S. Representative Liz Cheney after she endorsed Kamala Harris, where he said she wouldn't be pro-war if she was standing there with nine barrels shooting at her. Rubio said Trump wasn't saying Cheney should face a firing squad, but was instead trying to make the point that so-called war hawks wouldn't be so pro-war if they were placed on the front lines. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Thank you very much, Mark. Well, there's a new poll out with good news for Donald Trump and Rick Scott. The Morning Consult poll released yesterday. It shows Trump leading Kamala Harris by 5 percentage points in Florida. Also in that poll, it shows Senator Rick Scott leading Democrat challenger Debbie Mercosell Powell by 3 points. According to a RealClearPolitics.com average, Trump would lead Harris by 8 points in Florida. Scott leads Mercosell Powell by 4.5. Well, SpaceX may try for another launch today. They scrapped a launch due to a helium leak yesterday. A Falcon 9 rocket was set to carry more Starlink satellites into orbit. The next attempt could come as soon as this afternoon at around 4:45. Well, if you're driving around Pensacola, you'll probably notice a few new murals. 5 of them were painted for the 3rd annual Mural Festival, which ran from mid-October through this last weekend. You can see those paintings along the Barrancas corridor between Garden and Main Streets. A 66-year-old Pensacola man facing charges for allegedly robbing a bank in Crestview. Police say they were called to a Regions Bank location on Friday. The suspect was wearing a fluorescent yellow safety vest and a large straw hat with a face mask. He held his hand in his pocket, claiming to have a gun. Police say they identified that suspect as James Johnson, who'd already fled when they arrived at the bank. Witnesses described seeing that person get into a white SUV and flee from a neighboring parking lot. Officers say they identified Johnson as the suspect and say he has a history of bank robberies after being convicted and serving time for 2 of them back in the 90s. Following the robbery in Crestview, Johnson was taken into custody by the Escambia County Sheriff's Office. 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 75 degrees in Pensacola. It is 74 in Gulf Breeze and 67 in Milton. Our next news at 6. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices extended gains this morning, rising by more than $1 on a decision by OPEC Plus to delay by a month plans to increase output. Brent futures rose by $1.39 per barrel to stand at $74.49 a barrel. U.S. West Texas Intermediate's crude rose by $1.41 a barrel to stand at $70.90. Tech giant OpenAI has touted its artificial intelligence-powered transcription tool Whisper as having near-human-level robustness and accuracy. However, according to academic researchers, the tool is prone to make up chunks of text or even entire sentences. Those experts said some of the invented text can include racial commentary, violent rhetoric, and even imagined medical treatments. There's been just shy of $1 billion spent on political ads in the last week, and that's according to Ad Impact. The most expensive is the presidential race, where more than $272 million has been spent on ads. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Anderson Subaru has more Subarus than ever before, which makes this the perfect time to get the Subaru that you've always wanted. How about an Outback starting at $26,802, Crosstrek starting at $25,262, or a Forester starting at $29,378? You'll love your new Subaru, and now you'll love the savings. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters. Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing all things Thanksgiving, Atlas Beverage Class, flavors that forge the South dinner at Jackson's, Burger and Brew at Atlas, and Angelina's new fall menu debut, along with holiday parties, free martinis at Jackson's, and more. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Now that Blue Angels 5 and 6 have your attention, you have seen firsthand the ability of a tactical aircraft at high speed to sneak into a target area virtually undetected. Commander Zimmerman will complete the maneuver with a series of vertical rolls, while Lieutenant Commander Stengel completes his rendezvous with the diamond to the right.
Yeah, the sneak pass, everybody's favorite. One thing I will say on behalf of the Thunderbirds, they have like 4 sneak passes in their show, or like 4.5. There's one where kind of like it's sort of, you know, which the Blue Angels have a half one too, where it's not really a sneak, but, you know, sort of loud. So that's a lot of fun in the show. On Thursday, when I was at the base, when we played this for you on Friday, I had a chance to talk to Captain, got promoted over the summer, Captain Alex Armitas. He is the number one flight leader, the boss, the commanding officer for the Blue Angels. And this was his last show, it was Lieutenant Amanda Lee's last show. Would have been number 5, Griffin Stengel's last show as well, as they all 2 years rotate off of the team. And the interview I did with him was a co-interview with Tanner Stewart of Channel 3, so you hear his voice and my voice both on this interview.
Boss Armitas, great to see you.
You too.
So this is it. Final ride?
It is. This is our last air show of the season. It's been we do 32 show sites a year, and this is number 32.
Now, Village had talked about your own correspondence with coordinating the Thunderbirds here at this show, but obviously you've known that for a while, but knowing that this is the farewell, how does it feel to be doing this spectacular like this?
You know, the farewell piece of it is not really big in my mind as much as just an opportunity to fly with the Thunderbirds. Every air show is special. We get to go to 32 show sites a year. We get to represent the Navy Marine Corps across the country. The opportunity to do that at home in Pensacola with our Air Force counterparts is really exciting. It's a very unusual event to have both jet demo teams at the same show site, even more unusual to have them at the home station of one of those two jet demo teams. So it's very exciting to be a part of this.
Can you talk a little bit about yesterday? And we're listening to the radio chatter, and I can only imagine it was a bit of a complicated, delicate process, putting the Super Delta together and then splitting up for safety, I assume, reasons. But can you talk about that interface in the air for the first time?
Yeah, of course. So the teams operate a little differently. Our mission is fundamentally the same for our respective services. The two teams operate a little differently in terms of how we do things, the details of how we do things. When we fly together, which we do very seldom, but we do once or twice a year, we need to kind of sort those details out and ensure that we have a safe evolution. So putting 13 airplanes in the same piece of sky at any time is certainly a process that requires careful planning, careful briefing, and execution. So spend a lot of time on that, make sure that we do everything correctly, make sure that both teams understand exactly what's happening, when it's happening. And hopefully it looks like it was easy, which I think we did yesterday. We were pretty happy with the outcome yesterday, despite the somewhat challenging weather. And that's the process. We do that every time we fly together.
when you fly with them, they're flying with you. When you fly with them, do they take the lead and you get to be the wings?
We take turns, for sure. So we've done both in the last few years. We've had the Thunderbirds leading the Blue Angels and the Blue Angels leading the Thunderbirds, and that changes from year to year. So we take turns doing that. And typically what we'll do is we'll adhere to kind of the standards of the team that's leading the event, and then we'll adjust. So we'll have our opportunity to be on the other side of that, and then we'll adjust accordingly.
Can you talk about the differences? We'll ask the Thunderbirds the same question later, but what separates the Blue Angels from the Thunderbirds?
Probably first and foremost, which I think a lot of people may not realize, is the Blue Angels are a Navy squadron. Our job is to represent the Navy and the Marine Corps. The Thunderbirds are part of the United States Air Force. They represent the Air Force, and a lot of people may confuse the two. In terms of the differences between the teams specifically, the personnel are a little bit different in terms of size, but probably the biggest difference that's readily apparent to the public is the aircraft. We fly the F/A-18 ENF Super Hornet, and of course our C-130J Super Hercules, affectionately known as Fat Albert, while the Thunderbirds are flying the F-16, which is a very prolific fighter and has been flown by the Air Force for a number of years. So service-specific aircrafts is a huge difference, and that shows a little bit in the demo. The aircraft perform differently and their flight demonstrations are planned accordingly.
It seems like a great opportunity for you to get cross-training, share best practices, and get experience even in other airframes. I don't know if you ride backseat with them or they ride backseat with you, but can you talk about the training value of being together on a site?
Absolutely. There's a lot of training value. As I mentioned earlier, the Thunderbirds are the counterpart to the Blue Angels and the U.S. Air Force. There are very, very few teams in the world that do what these two teams do. And there's only two in the United States, and those are the Thunderbirds and the Blue Angels. So to have the opportunity to interact, to work with a team that has the same mission we do and basically does the same thing that we do is very rare, and it's very valuable. There's really no other team that we can learn from like we can learn from the Thunderbirds, and hopefully they would say the same thing about us. We spend a lot of time together, do our very best to kind of take what we like and what we think they do better than we do from them, and then try to adopt it, and I'm sure they're doing the same thing.
So, movie star, first team with a female jet pilot, now with the Thunderbirds, and you're coming up to now three flights until the end for you. What are you thinking right now?
I'm thinking that I want to fly a good, safe flight demonstration. I want to represent the Navy and Marine Corps as best as I possibly can. There's 800,000 people out there, over 800,000 people out there that are part of the Navy and the Marine Corps, doing a very difficult job, and they're doing it out of the public eye. It's my job to represent them. It's my job to be a part of this team and represent them. That's really my focus. I don't know that I will ever say I'm a movie star. I appreciate that. That's very generous.
I'll say it for you.
It's true. I appreciate that. It's very generous. But
people know you in the grocery store now.
Yeah, that's fair. But no, it's exciting to be here. It's exciting to be allowed to be a part of this team and just to have the opportunity to serve with these folks and to represent the Navy Marine Corps. And that's the focus right now. We've got an air show to do here in Pensacola. Our number one priority is a safe flight demonstration. Hopefully it's inspirational at the same time, but safety is number one. And we want to make sure it's a good, safe, well-executed safe flight demonstration. That's what we're here to do.
We also had a ship commissioning here this summer. Special event, right?
It was. It was a very special event. My first and only commissioning I've been a part of. It's pretty neat to see it.
People got to see you in whites.
They did. A few did.
pretty rare.
It is rare. I try not to wear whites as I try to wear them as rarely as I can. They're really hard to keep clean.
Can you talk about your next stop, and has this all gone fast for you, or does it feel like did it ever linger?
A little bit of both. There's times it feels like it's dragging a little bit. There's certainly a kind of a grinding aspect to this job. You spend a lot of time on the road, a lot of time away from family, with a very packed schedule. But it's also one of those things, if you remind yourself, and I tried to do that as well as I could, take a step back and realize what you're doing. It's really a special opportunity and a special experience. Being a part of this team is something very few people get to do. It's a lot of fun. It's just, you're surrounded by incredible people, talented people, sailors and Marines that came from the fleet. They're all going to go back to the fleet. And they're really, really good at what they do. And the opportunity to be a part of that team and be with them for a couple years is something I will cherish forever. In terms of what's next for me, I actually don't know. I'm going to an air wing. I know that I'm going to go to a carrier air wing back out to the fleet, just like everybody else on this team. But I won't know until mid-December which one that is and where it is. So as of now, I'm going to be moving at some point in the next few months, but I don't know where.
Do you miss the Greyhound at all?
I do. I miss the fleet. I don't think many people join the military to be in the Blue Angels. This is an incredible opportunity for the few that get to do it, and it's fun, and it's certainly unique and it's special. But our military members join to serve their country and to protect their country and defend the Constitution of the United States, and that's why I joined. And I'm as much as I enjoy this job, I'm excited to get back to the fleet and get back to doing what the Navy and Marine Corps exist to do.
It seems like an enormously difficult job. all kinds of commitment, 24/7. It seems like even when you're with family, you're still thinking about the team and the next show and the next practice. Do you feel like you're going to miss that level of work, or is it going to be a relief to be able to be back to somewhat of a
I think it's going to be both. This is leaving this team is bittersweet for sure. I will miss the people more than anything, not just the people on the team who I will miss dearly, but the people we have the opportunity to interact with, the folks at air shows that come out and want nothing more than to shake your hand and take a picture. That experience is incredible, and I will miss that a lot. At the same time, it'll be nice to get a little more time at home, a little time with my wife and my kids, and spend some time, maybe take them to school more than once a week and do some of the things I haven't had the opportunity to do in the last 2 years. So bittersweet for sure. I'm going to miss the team, but excited to have my life back.
Your kids in the film, were they enamored like we all were sitting in the theater, or did they just say, oh, that's dad, that's what dad does?
I think it's more the latter. I don't think that they're well beyond being impressed by anything that I do. So they see me and they're just picking it apart, any little thing they see or anything they catch in the film. They think it's funny. I don't think they really see it as the rest of the public does. They obviously know a lot more about me than the folks that see the film. So I think it was entertaining. I think they probably liked the flying footage, which is what I really liked. I think the flying footage in the film was incredible. Some of the airborne shots they got, some of the close-up shots they got during the demo practices and during the flight demonstrations, that was awesome. And I think they really enjoyed that.
With the schedule this week with the Thunderbirds in town, has it been strictly business? Have you all had a chance to bond and watch football or just kind of hang out and be yourselves?
Good question. So far we have not had a lot. I mean, the Thunderbirds just got to town yesterday en masse. There were a couple of them that were here earlier than that, but the schedule's pretty busy, and as busy as our schedule is, the Thunderbird schedule is equally as busy. So the only times to really spend time with that team is when the schedules overlap, which is rare. We saw a little bit of it last night at the museum. We spent a little bit of time together, but those opportunities, we'll take them if we can get them, and we'd love to kick back and chat with those guys a little bit, and gals. But it's going to be challenging to find time for that. We'll certainly do it if we can.
Over the years, the Blues and the Thunderbirds have exchanged works of art with each other, and some of those artworks are in the Blue Angels hangar. That all stay up when they're visiting?
We don't change anything. It's our home. We leave our decorations exactly as they are, especially when the team's in town. We put some of it away when we leave town for long periods of time, but right now the hangar is the way the hangar always is, and we're happy to keep it there.
You said most people don't go into the Navy wanting to be a Blue Angel. Can you go back, say, when you were a child or before you were in the Navy, and think about what you wanted to do with your career, and do you feel like you exceeded those expectations?
The start for me personally, I got my interest in aviation kind of started with my dad, who had a job at Federal Express. He wasn't a pilot, but he worked for now FedEx as a delivery guy. And one of his first jobs there was helping to unload the aircraft when it came into Syracuse, New York, which is near where I grew up. That was the first time I saw an airplane, the first time I kind of got excited about airplanes. As I learned a little bit more, I decided I wanted to do what most people would agree is the hardest thing to do in aviation, which is land a high-performance aircraft on an aircraft carrier. Which was really my goal. That led me to the Navy, that led me to Naval Aviation. Ultimately, I got to do that. Everything else since then has just kind of been a bonus. I've been playing with house money, for lack of a better term. I've been extremely fortunate, both in my timing and just been lucky to be able to do what I've done. Whether or not I've exceeded expectations, it's hard to say. I don't remember exactly what my expectations were as a kid, but I'm very happy with what I've done. I've been extremely lucky to be here. I continue to be lucky to be here. The folks I've met along the way have been a treat, and it's just been a great experience. I don't regret a thing.
About the managerial task of being boss, because not only are you flying, not only are you leading the team, but you're leading the whole team, and you have a tremendous number of enlisted that are subordinate to you, and of course you have Master Chief and everybody else that helps you with that, and the XO, but what's the managerial life of the Blue Angels flight leader?
So the job, my title is commanding officer and flight leader. Those are two distinct and different jobs, and the way it was passed to me is you are always both of those things. You're only doing one at a time. So when I'm out here on the flight line, I'm the flight leader. We're flying our flight demonstrations. When I'm in the squadron, I'm the commanding officer, and my job is to do commanding officer things. And in that sense, our squadron is very, very similar to the fleet. Most of my work as the commanding officer of the Blue Angels is very similar to any other commanding officer out there on a ship, a submarine, a fleet squadron. A lot of admin kind of things and Navy programmatic things that are specific to every squadron, every unit out there.
I just have a real quick one, though.
Sure.
you guys never wear sunglasses. In the movies, they're always wearing sunglasses. What's the truth and why?
We wear sunglasses. We just don't wear them for things like this. We take our sunglasses off when we're interacting with the public. To our team standard is that when you're interacting with the public, when you're interacting with people one-on-one, they should be able to see your eyes. It's more personal that way, and that's always been our standard. We take off our sunglasses when we're talking to folks, but the rest of the time we're happy to wear them. On those bright, sunny days, you need them.
So you squint for our benefit.
That's right.
Captain, thanks so much for all the time here in Pensacola. Thanks for being so available to us, and congratulations on your last set of shows, and thanks for letting your family and support us. We just appreciate it.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, there you go. That was Captain Alex Armitage, now no longer the commanding officer of the Blue Angels, because as of basically, they typically do change of command ceremony on Sunday. I don't know. I didn't see an alert that it was actually done, but that's typically when they do it. But yeah, after Saturday, it's all over. You know, they when they get back to their parking spaces, the new plates are up on the parking spaces because all of the Blue Angels officers all have their own, you know, parking or whatever. Oh, by the way, somebody mentioned this, and it's important to note. They asked, isn't there someone else on the team that is of a different service? Yes, Marines. There's always a Marine jet pilot, and all three of the pilots for Fat Albert are Marines. And there are Marines, of course, throughout the enlisted as well. But yeah, and it's my own fault. I make the mistake of not emphasizing the fact that there are Marines there as well, who all trained here too, right? They all, you know, they all started here at NES Pensacola. Most of them, two-thirds of them, went through their main flight training at NES Whiting Field, and then, you know, went on from there, you know, for the basic instruction on the T-6 Texan. So, you know, yes, they are all from here, including the Marines and Coast Guard, but there aren't Coast Guard members on the Blue Angel. 555 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you are thinking about buying or selling a home and trying to decide when is the right time or who to go with, you want a good real estate agent who really knows how to solve problems, who really knows how to get the job done. And Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty are just always committed to that, like making sure that they get you all the way through to the closing, solve any problems that come up. And, you know, you learn that through repetition. You learn to anticipate the problems and avert them, right, through repetition. But you learn how to solve the problems through repetition. And you learn how to adapt to new problems because there's always something new going on, right? Every deal is a little bit different. And you, again, all through repetition. Well, they sold 175 homes last year, on track to have that same number again this year. So it's hundreds of repetitions of going through this process instead of what some people do, and it's fine if they only want to sell a couple of homes a year. But you get a different level of knowledge even on what's normal in these deals, and that's very valuable when you're trying to figure out which offers to accept or reject. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty.
FSU football fans, the big watch party is at Calvert's in the Heights. Calvert's is FSU football watch party central, featuring large screen TVs, clear sound, free parking, and of course, your FSU Seminoles. Join your friends and fans and cheer on the team with FSU drink specials, a full food menu, and the best water view around. Thinking football? Think Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway, online and on Facebook. Go Noles, go!
Hey, Northwest Florida, Dave Ramsey here. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gulf Coast Air Care. Owner Todd St. Ors and his team focus on the indoor air quality side of HVAC for the people who want comfortable, healthy, and energy-efficient homes and workplaces. Gulf Coast Air Care can help you with dusty, moldy, or leaky duct systems, hot or cold rooms, and odors and humidity issues. So, if you need duct cleaning, duct repairs, or air filtration, you should call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768. They've been trusted members of the community for over 30 years. And remember what Todd always says, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Call Gulf Coast Air Care today at 850-934-2768 or visit them online at gulfcoastaircare.com. And be sure and tell them that Dave Ramsey sent you.
WSRE PBS invites you to attend the Joyful Noise Gospel Celebration, a Foo Foo Fest event featuring New York's Sing Harlem Choir, other feature performances, and the Joyful Noise Gospel Competition among local music groups. This afternoon of inspiring song is happening at the Pensacola High School Auditorium from noon till 5 on Saturday, November 9th. Admission is free, and there'll be food trucks on site. Don't miss WSRE's Joyful Noise Gospel Celebration on Saturday.
Locally owned and operated, Pensacola Poolscapes offers a lot more than pool liner replacement and pool supplies. Imagine unwinding after a long day in your own luxurious spa, where relaxation meets elegance. At Pensacola Poolscapes, they have a stunning selection of high-quality bullfrog spas and swim spas, perfect for soothing those aches, getting fit, and relaxing. And right now, they're offering end-of-summer rebate, just in time to enjoy the upcoming fall weather. Visit them online at PensacolaPoolscapes.com or on Gulf Breeze Parkway across from Tiger Point.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, and the News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm just doing this for my kids. This is the same way Bootsy got killed. All they found was $20 and a pair of Adidas.
Axel Foley is one of the all-time great characters in movies. 5:59 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay, and David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
No deaths have been reported, but about a dozen people in Oklahoma were injured after a weekend of tornadoes and flooding. Oklahoma City officials say none of the injuries are life-threatening, but their governor has issued an emergency declaration. Local talk.